when man was lost in sin, no peace could be found. God proved his love to him when he sent his only son. Then he came to be that perfect living sacrifice. Jesus came through for all mankind on Calvary.
Greetings in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is Pastor N.R. Davis of the Walking in the Light radio broadcast. I am the pastor of the Abide in Light Church here on the west side of Manchester, and you're tuning in today to the Walking in the Light radio broadcast that comes to you every Saturday at 3 o'clock to 3:30. We're delighted to have you with us today on this radio broadcast. We're going to be doing a study, and we have with us Pastor Rick DeRocher, a Bible teacher for over 25 years at the Deliverance Bible Institute in Portland, Maine. We will be turning the remainder of this radio broadcast over to Pastor DeRocher to teach and preach on revival.
Nothing that God does in the Bible is by chance. Everything has a reason, a purpose. God is a God of timing. He's a God of order and preciseness. God sent the rain at appointed times. Deuteronomy 11, 14, there is a biblical pattern for the rain, that I will give you the rain of your land in his due season, the first rain and the latter rain, that thou mayest gather in thy corn and thy wine and thine oil. There are definite times or seasons of rain. Now this is in Palestine, in Israel. I learned in Africa about the seasons of the rain. I first got there, there was no rain. It was dry. There was dust on dust. They said the rains are coming. The rains are coming. And there was much preparation for the rains. Seed being prepared, ground being made ready, because there's a definite pattern every year of the rains. And they have two periods of rain there in Africa, and they plant with the rain. Us dumb Americans tried planting without the rain, trying to water and irrigate and watch plants dry out in front of us, because the sun was so hot you couldn't irrigate it enough. But that rain, that natural rain, produced the crop. The rain is a symbol of the Holy Ghost outpouring. We sing, send down the rain, Lord. Send down the rain. God has appointed times, not just of physical rain, but of Holy Ghost outpouring. I will send the rain in due season. God appointed the times of the harvest. The Jewish calendar is revolved around the harvest. The feasts, the festivals are all revolved around planting, the phases of the moon, and the harvest. God is showing to us his plan for his outpouring in the rain. Jeremiah 5, 24. Neither say they in their heart, let us now fear the Lord our God, that giveth rain both the former and the latter in his season. He reserveth unto us the appointed weeks of the harvest. The rain was sent in relation to the growing of the harvest. God's a good gardener. God is the one that planted the first garden. Did you know that? In the Garden of Eden. God knows what amounts of rain are needed to produce the fruit. When the spies went to the promised land, they brought back those grapes of Eshcol in Palestine, in Canaan, in the Holy Land, in the promised land. What produced those grapes? The rain. The land was fertile, but fertile ground with no rain will do no good. There's got to be rain, but there can't be all rain. There's got to be sun. There's got to be the right amount to produce the crop at the right time. And when Israel lived right, God sent the rain. When they sinned, he withheld the rain. When the church falls into sin, God withholds the rain of the Holy Ghost. There are three Hebrew words that are used to refer to rain. Most are familiar with two, the early and the latter. But there's actually three words in the Hebrew. Someone said, well, why do you look at Hebrew words? Well, the Old Testament was written in Hebrew. So therefore, we look at these words to gain a deeper meaning, a deeper revelation of the Word of God. The former rain, yura, used in reference to the early or the former rain. Hosea 6:3, then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. His going forth is prepared as the morning, and he shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter in the former rain unto the earth. The earlier former rains begin in autumn, in the latter part of October or the beginning of November. They were the fall rains. Now remember, every year these rains fell in this particular pattern. Because God knows what he's doing. And the rains lasted for a definite period of time. The rains fell steadily for 2 months every year. The first outpouring was for a determined time. It had a beginning point when the day of Pentecost was fully come. They tarried until Pentecost. God had a designated time to birth the church and to pour out his spirit. The former rain prepared the soil for the seed. Psalm 65, 9 and 10. Thou visitest the earth and waterest it. Thou greatly enrichest it with the river of God, which is full of water. Thou preparest them corn when thou hast so provided for it. Thou waterest the ridges thereof abundantly. Thou settlest the furrows thereof. Thou makest it soft with showers. Thou blessest the springing thereof. Any farmers know what a furrow is? A furrow. That's those rows they plant. That's what the plow does. The plow makes the furrow. And the ground was so hard after a dry period that even the plows couldn't break through the soil without the rain. The rain had to prepare the ground for the seed. And on the day of Pentecost, the rain of the Holy Ghost prepared this world of sin to receive the seed of the gospel message. Thou blessest the springing, the germinating. You put the seed in the ground and it germinates. I remember, I think it was Josh. We did experiments many times teaching them things about gardening and growing. He was very little. We took these cups and put in seeds and put the water on. He was just watching that cup. And it wasn't long before his mind became bored with watching that cup. Something's wrong with my seed, Dad. It's just not growing. I put the seed in. The picture shows a plant. But it wasn't long before he came by again and said, Dad, there's a plant. Germination. Springing. Thou blessed the springing, the germination of the seed. But without the rain, there would be no crop. Pentecost was the first outpouring of the rain. The former rain, the Bible tells us, was given moderately. Joel 2:23, "Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain, and the latter rain in the first month." Notice the timing in the first month. God set the pattern for the rainfall. What does moderate mean? With limitations, moderation. You didn't get it all. Moderately, it's raining, but it's not the full torrential downpour. It's not the gully washer. I've seen rain so thick I couldn't see. Now the Bible says, "He giveth you the former rain moderately." The Holy Ghost was sent to prepare the world for the gospel. Pentecost is the feast of first fruits. Do you think that was an accident? You think God's calendar was just thrown together haphazardly? No, all those feasts have significance and representation and meaning so deep we could not even take the time today to go into all of that. But Pentecost was the celebration of the first fruits, the barley harvest. Barley always came before wheat. The celebration of the first outpouring. In limitation, in reservation, as great as it was, God still has more in reserve. The winter rain. Geshem. See, I didn't make up these words, these different words in the Hebrew Bible. Our English says rain, rain, rain. Sometimes the adjective former or latter or winter or just the rains. Used in reference to the winter rain, also referred to as the rains. And the examples I've given are usages of these words in the Bible. Ezra 10:9. "Then all the men of Judah and Benjamin gathered themselves together into Jerusalem within 3 days. It was the ninth month." Notice again the timing, the months. "On the 20th day of the month, and all the people sat in the street of the house of God, trembling because of the matter and for the great rain." This was not the early rain, nor was it the latter rain, but it's the winter rain, the great rain. There have been some great manifestations of God's power. Song of Solomon 2:11. "For lo, the winter is past, and the rain is over and gone." Without taking the time to go into the context of the Song of Solomon, the bridegroom is calling the bride. Notice the timing. Do you think this was just all done happenstance? The winter rains were past. Coming into the season of dry time, after the winter came the latter rain. Bridegroom is calling out to his bride. The heavy winter rains fall from the middle of December through January. Now these were showers. The winter rains were not as seasonal as such as the early and the latter, but they were showers. Showers. Have there been showers of Pentecost throughout church history? The day of Pentecost was fully come. Have there been showers of awakenings? The first great awakening. George Whitefield, Jonathan Edwards, the Wesley brothers. A great outpouring of the Holy Ghost that was not produced by man, but God sent the rain. It's referred to as the great awakening. What awakened the people? Was it man? No, it was the rain of the Holy Ghost. There has always been seasons of Pentecost in the church. The second great awakening, Charles Spurgeon, D.L. Moody, Charles Grandison Finney, great revivals have come to America. Revivals have come to England. Revivals have come to the world. Were these demonstrations of men's power? How could John Wesley stand up on his father's grave outside of his church and preach to thousands of people? People would run when Whitefield came to town. They wanted to hear the man of God, but because there was a pouring out of the Holy Ghost, a shower of rain, and these showers were mingled with dry times. And after the winter rain preceding the latter rain was a dry time. Dry times are as needful. My wife sings a song about the weaver. The dry times are as needful in the weaver's skillful hand. For he sees the upper, but I the underside. Ever turn a tapestry around and see the mess? What's going on here, Lord? What are you trying to do? I got it all worked out. I got it all under control. And I made a few points here quickly to help us to know that maize doesn't grow in Palestine. Corn, I realize in Africa, corn's not corn. You haven't corn, that white stuff is not corn. There's no taste to it. And you mush it up and put it in porridge. Corn is not corn. And our New England corn is definitely not Palestinian corn. Their corn is wheat. When the Bible uses the word corn, it's referring to wheat. And the wheat must have a dry season. If the farmer sees all rain, he is very concerned because he knows that his grain is lost for too much rain. The wheat grows little knobs on the stem, on the stalk. And those knobs are only produced in the dry time. And those knobs strengthen the stalk, that when the wind blows, the stalk does not bend and break. And without those knobs, the wheat would die in the storm and there would be no grain. And in the dry times, in the driest of the dry times, in God's mercy, there was the dew. The heavy dew fell on the grass, on the grain, in the night hours. I like that song, in the midnight hour. God's going to turn it around. He's going to work in your favor. In the midnight hour, there was a dry time between outpourings of the rain. Where is the God of Elijah? Where is this outpouring you've talked about? It comes in God's timing. The latter rain, Melkosh. Hosea 6:3. Then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord, his going forth is prepared as the morning, and he shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and the former rain unto the earth. The latter or the spring rains fall in March or April. The rain was for the harvest. The latter rain was necessary to mature the grain before the final harvest. Amos 7:1, thus hath the Lord God showed unto me, and behold, he formed grasshoppers in the beginning of the shooting up of the latter growth. And lo, it was the latter growth after the king's mowing. There is latter growth that is produced by the latter rain. And only the latter rain will produce that growth. The rain was necessary to bring the fruit to full maturity. Does the Bible preach full maturity? Whom we did for know. He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn, the firstfruits, the firstborn among many brethren. My firstborn son is Ricky. Firstborn implies what? A secondborn, a thirdborn. We'll never be Jesus. But his desire is that we bear his image, that we bear his likeness. And man cannot produce that of his own self. It will take the Holy Ghost rain to mature the grain in due season. He is the vine. Oh, hallelujah to God. And we are the branches. But being connected to that vine is not enough. We also need the rain of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost outpouring will perfect, or that word perfection is maturing, completing the bride of Christ to bear his image. We admonish young men that are looking for a bride, don't look in the world. Is she filled with the Holy Ghost? Is she righteous? Is she holy? Does she pray? Are these all pertinent to a young man that's seeking a wife? How much less do you think the Son of God is looking for his bride to bear his image, to be filled with the Holy Ghost, to watch and pray? All of our strivings, all of what we're attempting to do is not going to produce what the rain alone can do in the season of the latter rain. The mature sons of God, word for son, a fully mature son of God. Every time in your English Bible when you see son, it's not the word for a full mature son. Sometimes that fruit, it looks good, but it doesn't taste quite right. It's not fully ripe. It's not fully matured. It's not fully complete. It's not fully perfected. It's not quite ready to be picked. The sons of God, the full mature sons of God, will be revealed in his timing. Rather than several scriptures, Romans 8:19, for the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. And for the sake of time, we'll skip to verse 23. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits. There's that word again. First fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan. Same word as a woman in travail. That childbearing. I told my wife, you're demonstrating the birthing of the man child because she cannot produce the travail. I remember the first time I heard her travail. My son Elijah was born. I was in a pickup truck and she called and I heard this sound. Oh, it's time. I never heard that before. You never travailed like that before. You never cried like that before. It's only associated with the birthing of a son. And there has to be that appointed time that takes place. There's something going on right now in the womb. And you know in the womb, oh, blessed be the Lamb of God. The hearing is developed in that womb. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. The sight is developed in the womb. We must see. The servant told, or Elijah told the servant, look to the sea. I don't see it. What are you talking about, preacher? I don't see any rain. There's nothing coming. Look to the sea. Open his eyes. God, open his eyes. Open our eyes to see. I see a cloud. I see a cloud the size of a man's hand. Anoint thine eyes with thyself that thou mayest see.
As we begin to close this broadcast today, we thank you for tuning in. This is Pastor N.R. Davis of the Walking in the Light radio broadcast that comes to you every Saturday at 3 o'clock to 3:30. We are delighted that you were listening to us today talking about this series on revival. The need for our day and our hour is a genuine outpouring of God's Spirit. And we thank you for tuning in and listening to this broadcast on revival. Now, if you'd like to, you can reach us at abidinglightchurch.com. You can go to our website at abidinglightchurch.com. If you'd like to come and visit us for a church service, we'd be more than happy and delighted to have you come. We have our regular Sunday services at 11 o'clock and 7 o'clock in the evening. And we have our Wednesday night Bible studies. And we would love to have you come out if you just want to visit or if you're looking for a home church. We're a multicultural church, and we'd love to have you come out and be with us in a service. So once again, until next Saturday, this is Pastor N.R. Davis. May the Lord Jesus Christ bless you.
When man was lost in sin, no peace could be found. God proved his love to him he sent his only son. Then he came to be that perfect living sacrifice. Jesus came